I just wanted to thank the section for inviting me to talk today, and also our colleagues at the Guttmacher Institute, who did a fabulous job of sort of setting the stage for my study. I was thinking earlier that I wouldn't really consider myself to be an expert in anything, but if I did have an emerging area of expertise, it would be in adolescent sexual and reproductive health. And so this is a bit outside of my context to talk about adult women today, but I've really been trying to think about family planning in a life course perspective, in a reproductive life course perspective. So that's what we'll talk about, adult women. And I'd also like to thank my co-authors from the University of Michigan. I have no disclosures. So as we in this room know, women in the U.S. have the highest rates of adverse reproductive health outcomes in the developed world, and these include things like unintended pregnancy, abortion rates, sexually transmitted infection rates, as well as cervical cancer rates. And we also know that persistent disparities exist. So women of racial ethnic minority status and poor women experience the highest rates of these negative outcomes, as well as often the most severe consequences of these outcomes. There has been some research linking negative reproductive health outcomes with receipt of or lack thereof of sexual and reproductive health services. So some of my own work has kind of hypothesized this, and there's been studies directly linking disparities in reproductive health to inadequate service use. And I think that this is especially salient for preventive women's health services, which essentially aims to prevent reproductive morbidity and to promote healthy sexual behavior. Given that there is an increasing risk of adverse reproductive health outcomes associated with increasing age, we know that preventive women's health care is relevant across the reproductive life course. Yet most of the work in this area has focused on adolescent and young adult women, including my own. So here we sought to look at differentials in sociodemographic factors associated with use of women's health services among adult women in the United States in recent years. So I won't go into a lengthy discussion about the National Survey of Family Growth, which we just heard about, but for this study, we used recent data from the 2006 to 2010, so just about 12,000 women in the U.S. ages 15 to 44 years old were interviewed in their homes on a variety of sexual and reproductive health topics. And for this particular analysis, we're looking at adult women ages 25 to 44 years. There was like one woman who said she was 45. And so the sample size here is around 8,000 women. So in the National Survey of Family Growth, women were asked about any reproductive health service visits in the year preceding the survey. And then they were asked how many visits they had. They were also asked about types of women's health service visits, and these included contraceptive services, so for things like contraceptive method provision, an evaluation or a checkup, contraceptive counseling, as well as emergency contraceptive counseling and provision. It also included sexually transmitted infection services, so including testing or treatment for STIs, gynecological exam services, so this included pap smear or pelvic exam service, and pregnancy-related services, which we've grouped for this study, we've grouped together prenatal, postpartum care, abortion, and pregnancy testing care. So here's just a quick snapshot of some of the key characteristics of our sample. The mean age was 34 years. Just over two-thirds identified as white, whereas 14% as black, 18% as Hispanic, and 7% as other race ethnicity, which was largely Asian women. Just around 39% had only completed a high school degree or even less education. 40% were below 200% of the federal poverty level, and almost a third were uninsured at some point during the previous year. I don't show reproductive characteristics of these women up here, but just quickly, almost the entire sample reported being sexually active in the previous year, 92%, the majority only having one sexual partner. 81% reported a prior pregnancy, and 56% reported having two or more live births. And then about half, 52%, considered their childbearing completed. So here are some results for women's health service use in the past year. Among the overall sample, 74% reported any service visit for women's health or reproductive health services. And this included 70% who reported gynecological exam services for a pap smear or pelvic exam. 47% reported contraceptive services, so this was contraceptive method provision, counseling, emergency contraceptive counseling or provision. 21% reported pregnancy-related services, and just 14% reported STI testing or treatment services. So here I show the results of women's health service use broken down by socio-demographic groups. And so these results are weighted proportions. And for this particular chart, it's any women's health service use. And so what we see, all of the within group comparisons are statistically different. So I'm just going to sort of walk you through from the bottom up. In terms of proportions, younger women, black and white women, college-educated women, women above the federal poverty level, employed women, and insured women had higher proportions of having used any services in the past year as compared to their counterparts. This chart shows gynecological exam services, so this is among all women, and we see similar trends in all of the data, and they were all statistically different. The within-group comparisons were statistically different, so trends in the same direction. Here we have contraceptive service use. So results were also similar among for contraceptive services, and this was among sexually active women who were not surgically or otherwise sterile and who were not trying to become pregnant in at least 6 of the 12 months prior to the survey. So the denominator here was just over 5,000 women. And so these results were also in the similar direction as the previous ones I've described, and they were all statistically different except for poverty. However, when we looked at sexually transmitted infection service use among the sexually active women in the sample, the trends were largely in the opposite direction. So, with the exception of age, black women, poor women, and uninsured women actually had higher proportions of STI service use as compared to their counterparts. And finally, similarly, the results for pregnancy-related services among the sexually active women were similar to those for STI service use. So we saw younger women, black women, poor women, and unemployed women having higher proportions of using pregnancy-related services in the past year. And for this particular outcome, proportions were similar among those with and without insurance, gaps in insurance. So I apologize, we had lots of regression models and many tables, too many to sort of show here, but I wanted to highlight some of the multivariable regression results. And so compared to their counterparts, we found that older women had a reduced odds of using all types of services than younger women. And so the odds ratios range from 0.2 to 0.6. Black women had greater odds of using STI, pregnancy, and gynecological exam services as compared to white women. Hispanic women also reported greater odds of pregnancy service use. College-educated women had greater odds of using those same services compared to high school dropouts. We also found that poverty and unemployment were negatively associated with gynecological exam service use. And then finally, lack of insurance was the strongest predictor of all types of service use in all models. I don't show the trends over time here, but for the total sample, we did look at variations by survey year comparing 2006 to 2007 through 2010. And for the full sample, there wasn't any changes over time in service use among this adult sample of women. However, when we looked at age stratified models, we did see the youngest women were 30% less likely to use services in 2009-2010 as compared to the early survey year 2006-2007. And that finding is consistent with one of our other studies looking at service use during the study period among adolescent women. So in conclusion, we did find some differences in women's health service use, which appear to, particularly by age, which appear to reflect age-related fertility transitions across the reproductive life course. However, we did notice some other socio-demographic differentials that mirror, or at least that appear to mirror, disparate reproductive health outcomes among women in the U.S. Additional research is needed on the link between women's health service utilization, especially preventive care utilization, and poor and disparate reproductive health outcomes across the reproductive life course. And this is will be particularly relevant in changing socio-political context. So clearly we know that insurance was a big predictor here, and it'll be interesting to note whether and how these trends change with the Affordable Care Act, especially for women across the later years of the reproductive life course. And then finally, public health and policy interventions are needed to increase women's preventive service use for all women and across all age ranges. So I'd just like to acknowledge the section, as well as my funder, the NICHD, and my colleagues at the University of Michigan. Thank you. Do you want me? I'll take a few questions. Okay. Striking. Yes.
So yes. 35 to 39-year-olds
and 40 to 45-year-olds. Yes. Yeah. That's right. And we also looked at this particular variable as well as the others by women. We broke it down by women who had reported completing their childbearing, and we didn't find any differences by that. So I would say that these findings really correspond nicely with your findings earlier, thinking about a sort of unmet need for women in later reproductive life years, which we don't talk about a lot, and thinking about unintended pregnancy in those groups and an unmet need for services. Oh, hi. Well, that wasn't for this. Yeah, so for this particular one, in the multivariable models, it wasn't significant. And there's been a lot of sort of thinking and work looking at why African-American women have higher rates of service use. And often in the models where services are kind of grouped together, we know that some of that is weighed by pregnancy services and STI services. Here, we try to parse out contraceptive services a bit. And some of the discussion in the paper on this study is in Press and Annals of Epidemiology, and we talk a little bit about access to family planning clinics and Title X clinics, which disproportionately serve those groups of women. And so it's this convoluted sort of story, I think, about access and among certain groups of women. So, but unfortunately, it's really hard to try to parse all of that out with these data. Thank you.